Happy Sabbath. It's good to be here with you this Sabbath. You will see a few of the guys passing out a couple items to you. We are going to get to those here in just a second. You should ultimately end up with three cards, two business card size and one a little bit bigger. So we'll come to those here in just a second. Before we do that, I want to just talk about a little bit about what we do with Literature Ministries. I have the privilege of working with Literature Ministries here in Upper Columbia Conference, and just want to share a little bit of an overview of what we do with that before we get into the message. And I have a couple slides that will help to illustrate that. Let's see if this works here. If you want to connect with Literature Ministries here in this conference on Facebook, you can do that by going to facebook.com/literatureucc. And we have updates every once in a while that will tell you about things that are coming up, other things like that that you can connect with. So if you're on Facebook, connect with us there. And just before I get too far along in talking about this, I just want to tell you about an event that's coming up that is very important. And it's happening tomorrow, actually, and that is my wife's birthday. And she's probably going to be upset that I'm telling you about this, but she's down here in the front, so if you see her, tell her happy birthday for me. She always says that her goal is to wake up in the morning of her birthday and not realize that it's her birthday. So if you all tell her happy birthday today, she'll probably think that today's her birthday, so tomorrow she won't think it is. So will you all do that for me? A few of you will. No. Okay, so Literature Ministries in Upper Columbia, we have three programs that we do that church members can be involved in sharing their faith through literature. And the first one of them is mostly for young people, and that is called Youth Rush. And it's a 10-week student colporter program in the summer. I know some here have done that program. And this summer it goes from June 7 to August 13. And so it's an awesome opportunity for young people, 16 and older, to share their faith using the literature, getting donations for books that helps them to pay for their education. And so Youth Rush has a lot of really cool experiences that happen during that program, and we're actually going to share some of those experiences with you, some of those testimonies and stories today. And that's mainly for our young people. We had some people in our conference, since we've been doing this program for several years now, that came to us a couple years back, and they said, "You have a program to teach young people how to be a colporter. What about us older people? What about those that are older than, you know, 20, 25, 30 years old?" And so we started a program for those that can't do the full summer of 10 weeks, and that program is called NOC. And NOC is a two-week intensive training for anybody that wants to learn how to be a colporter, to get donations or to sell books, to either supplement their income or whatever, but to mainly share their faith with the literature that we have. And so we have two dates that are coming up, one next month in Walla Walla, April 19 to 30. And then we have every fall, we do two times a year. We do one in the spring and one in the fall. The one in the fall is here in Spokane, and that's happening September 6 to 17. So if you're interested in learning more about that, we have some cards on the table you can pick up when you go, but that program is called NOC. Probably the one that's easiest for everybody to be involved in is called Giving Light to Our World, or GLOW. How many of you have heard of GLOW before? Most of you have. And that is a program that makes it super simple to share your faith through literature using mostly these little tracts here. And so we're going to share some stories about what's happened as people have distributed these little pieces of literature and what God has used them to do in other people's lives. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that today. That's something that's super easy for everybody to be involved in sharing your faith. Now we're getting to our first card here. If you pull out the one that says the Spark, we're going to talk about that. The Spark is, since we've mentioned the GLOW program, we're going to share some stories with you today, but there are stories that are happening all of the time with GLOW. And so the Spark is an email newsletter that goes out weekly on each Friday that has a new story about what's happening with GLOW. So if you want to keep getting more stories about stories like we're sharing with you today, things that have happened as people share their faith through literature, you want to sign up for this, and you can do that with the link that's right here. You can go to glownorthwest.org/spark. And you can sign up there. Or if you're like me, a lot of times I think during the day, either when I'm at work or something, I think, okay, when I go home, I'm going to do this or do that. And then when I get home, I forget. I know probably none of you are like that. But in case you are, we have an easy way for you to sign up for this email. On the table right as you leave through the middle doors, there's going to be an iPad there where you can just punch in your name and email address, and it'll sign you up so you don't have to remember when you get back home. So that's the Spark. It has some stories that you can get weekly about what's happening with GLOW. A couple other things that I want to mention along with that. One of them is, it's called, there's a new book called The Open Door. And it looks like that image right up there. It's a brand new book, and we have some available here. Some of the stories that I'm going to share with you today are from that book, but it's basically a book that is full of stories about student literature evangelists that are going door-to-door like we have in the Youth Rush program all over the country, and you can pick up one of those if you just want to leave a donation in the basket when you leave. You can pick up one of those books and have a lot of stories like we're sharing with you today. One last thing before we start. There's a brand new initiative that we're really excited about. It makes it super easy to share your faith using the tracks all year long, and that's called the 365 Challenge. And that's what the bigger card is. If you want to pull that one out and take a look at that. The 365 Challenge is pretty easy to guess what it's about. It's a challenge for you to distribute one tract a day for a whole year. And so it's super simple. You just sign up. And you get your tracks. The tracks are sent to you every month. So once you sign up and you get going on this plan, at the beginning of every month, you'll get an envelope in the mail with your tracks for that next month. So you don't have to remember the whole year. All you have to do is sign up. You get those tracks each month and you distribute them. And then we also have on the card, what you'll see there is the holiday challenge. And we found that one of the easiest times to distribute literature is around the holiday season. So Easter, Christmas, even Halloween. You have people maybe that come to your door during Halloween. If you don't, it's super easy to go knock on people's doors. People are expecting you to knock on their doors at Halloween time. How easy can I get? So we started the holiday challenge. You get 50 tracks for each major holiday that's listed there, and you get those in the mail right as the month starts. So that's what this other little card, it says My Decision for GLOW. It doesn't perfectly fit this. It doesn't say 365, but we're using these cards. If you want more information or you want us to contact you to get you started on the 365 challenge or the holiday challenge, if you can just put your contact information on this card and then drop it in the little basket once you leave, that is for the 365 challenge. So the little card that says My Decision for GLOW. If you want to get started on this challenge or at least find out more information, have us contact you, fill out that card and then drop it in and we will get you more information this coming week. If you fill that out. So a few different things with literature evangelism that you can be involved with, and we're going to talk a little bit about literature ministry and what has been going on and what you can do and how it can be effective, an effective way for you to share your faith with your community. Our title for today, for the message, is The Luckiest Unlucky Man. And before we begin, let's go ahead and take a moment to bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the Sabbath, for all that it signifies. We thank you that it teaches us that you created us and that you didn't only create us, but you recreated us. And we just want to pray that as we open your word, the word that your Holy Spirit has inspired and that has guided in our hands in the form of a book. We just pray that same Spirit would be with us to instruct us, to inspire us, and most importantly, to help us understand what we can do to apply the things that we learn into our lives, is our prayer this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a man who lives in Croatia. His name is Frane. Let's see if I can get this to work here. His name is Frane Selak, and this is a picture of him here. He lives in Croatia, and this man is the man who has come to be known by many people as the luckiest unlucky man in the world. And I have a little video clip that I want to share with you now that is going to show you the reasons why many people consider him the luckiest unlucky man in the world. So let's go ahead and watch that clip now.
Meet Frain Selak, an elderly music teacher from Croatia, and depending on how you look at it, either the world's unluckiest or the world's luckiest person to ever live. His unbelievable yet true story begins on a cold winter's day in 1962. Traveling from Sarajevo to Dubrovnik, a fault with the line caused his train to jump the track and plunge into the freezing river below. While other passengers were killed in the crash or drowned in the sinking wreckage, suffering a broken arm, Frain managed to escape and swim to shore. Little did Frain know at the time, but this incident marked the beginning of a series of bizarre events that would occur over the next 40 years of his life. The following year, while traveling aboard a small plane bound for Rijeka, disaster struck for a second time. Mid-flight, both engines stopped working, cabin pressure dropped, and the plane began losing altitude. You might have thought that this was probably the worst thing that could have happened, but you'd be wrong. While the plane plummeted towards the ground, a malfunctioning door blew off, and poor Frain was sucked out of the aircraft. Tumbling through the air without a parachute, Frain must have thought he was a goner. But while the plane crashed into the side of a hill, killing all 19 on board, Frain somehow managed to land in a haystack and survived with only minor injuries. Another 2 years went by before Frain's next brush with death. This time, while traveling by bus, ice on the road caused the wheels to lock up and the vehicle skidded through the safety guard and into the valley below. Four passengers were killed, but not Frain. Tired, or perhaps terrified, of public transport, Frain began to travel mostly by car. But that didn't seem to help either. In 1970, his car engine burst into flames, but Frain was able to jump free before it exploded. Then, 3 years later in 1973, the fuel pump in his new car ruptured, causing another engine fire. But this time, the flames were blown straight at him through the air vents. Needless to say, he survived this too, albeit with less hair than he began with. In 1995, he survived being hit by a bus. And in 1996, a careless truck driver forced him off the side of a mountain road. His car plunged 300 feet and exploded in a ball of flames, but Frain wasn't in it. Having somehow jumped out of the window, he was found clinging to a tree some way down the cliff face. Now, Frain's story may have ended there, as since then, Frain hasn't been involved in any other death-defying incidents. However, there is one last twist to this man's incredible story. In 2003, at the age of 72, Frain bought a lottery ticket, his first one in over 40 years. He won the jackpot, safely securing his place as the luckiest unlucky person to ever live.
How'd you like to be on the plane with that guy? Some have asked where you can see that video. If you type in the sermon title, The Luckiest Unlucky Man, you type that into YouTube, you can find that video. And that guy is not an Adventist, but it's just an interesting story to see all the things that happened to him. Although we may not experience the things that guy experienced as far as being lucky to have survived all those different things in life, we're going to take a moment today to look at four reasons why you may be the luckiest person to ever live. You may be the luckiest man or woman to ever live. And if you want to turn with me in your Bibles, we're not going to have the verses up on the screen, but if you go with me in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 12, that's where we're going to begin with the first reason that you may be the luckiest man or woman to ever live. Daniel chapter 12 is where we will begin. Daniel chapter 12 and beginning in verse 4. It says, "But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." Verse 8. This is Daniel, from Daniel's perspective in verse 8. "Although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, 'My Lord, what shall be the end of these things?'" Verse 9. "And he said, 'Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and" what? "And sealed until" what time? "Until the time of the end." It says, "shall be sealed until the time of the end." Now, what this verse tells me and can tell us is that there are things in the book of Daniel many things, many of the significantly important things in the book of Daniel that Daniel himself did not understand. Daniel did not understand many things of significance in his own book. Likewise, there's many things in the book of Revelation that John the Revelator, as he wrote the words, didn't understand the true meaning and the full significance of what they meant. There are things that Daniel did not understand about his book. There are things that other Bible writers in the Bible did not understand about their writings and their contributions to the biblical text that you and I can understand. So the first reason why you may be the luckiest person to ever live is that you can understand. You can understand things about the Bible that Bible writers never understood. You can, if Daniel were here today, you could explain more to him about his own book than he could understand when he was living. So the first reason you may be the luckiest person to ever live is you can understand. Reminds me of a flight that I was on a few years ago. I was preparing, around that time that I took this flight, I was preparing to teach a class on the book of Revelation. And as I took this flight, I was seated there, and there was a lady that was sitting next to me who actually had her Bible out, and she was doing a little bit of studying. And so, you know, I thought that was kind of an uncommon thing to see on the plane. And so I ended up talking to her a little bit about that. I made a comment or something about her Bible, and it turns out that this lady was a student studying for her doctorate degree at Fuller Theological Seminary in Pasadena. And at the time, I was working at Southern California Conference, so right there in Glendale next to Pasadena. And so this lady was studying her Bible. She was studying for a doctorate, but at the same time, she was teaching some classes at the seminary for MDiv students, master's level classes and stuff like that at Fuller. And so as we got to talking a little bit, she asked some about what I did and what church I was involved with. And so as I shared with her, we began to talk a little bit about the book of Revelation. And I just shared with her some of the basic stuff that we believe about Revelation, how it's a revelation or a revealing of Jesus Christ, and how you can see Jesus through the different events and the prophecies in the book of Revelation. And here is a seminary professor and a doctoral student at that seminary who says, when we got off the plane, she says, "I've never been able to understand the book of Revelation like I have on this flight." And she said, "Maybe I should try to come and listen to what you have to say in your class." And here is somebody who, even though she had much understanding about the Bible, didn't understand some of the things that we have the privilege to understand about the Bible. We have a huge base of understanding when it comes to understanding what the Bible has to say. Can you say amen? And so the first thing that may make you the luckiest person to ever live is you can understand the Bible. In fact, there was a story of somebody who got a tract on the state of the dead. He was scheduled to speak at one of his friend's funerals, and he got one of these tracts, and he read it, and he thought, you know, this is interesting. I've never heard this perspective on what the Bible says about what happens when you die. And so he went to the funeral, and he was presenting or talking there at the funeral. And what he did is he just took out the tract and he read it. He read the tract that he was given. He's not an Adventist. Read the tract on the state of the dead at the funeral, and people were coming up and saying, "Wow, I never understood that's what the Bible said about what happens when you die." And he said, "I didn't either, but somebody just gave me one of these pieces of literature, and I was able to understand more about what the Bible really says happens after you die." Something super easy that just by giving out a little piece of literature was able to have a big impact on people that are not even Adventists, that don't have exposure to us and in places that we wouldn't be invited to share. Something super easy. I want to share a quote with you that goes along with this point that is from Acts of the Apostles, and there it is. It's on page 109. It says, "There are many who are reading the scriptures who cannot understand their true import. All over the world, men and women are looking wistfully to heaven. Prayers and tears and inquiries go up from souls looking for light, longing for light, for grace, and for the Holy Spirit." Then it says, "Many are on the verge of the kingdom, waiting only to be gathered in." many people are out there who are wanting to understand more about the Bible, who are wanting to understand the things that we understand, and that if we go and share with them, they're ready to be gathered in into a fellowship of people who believe what the Bible really says. Amen? And so reason number one why you may be the luckiest person to ever live is you can understand. For the second one, I want you to go with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. Luke, what chapter are we going to? Luke chapter 11. And we're going to look at the second reason you may be the luckiest man or woman to ever live. First one is you can understand. The second one we find here in Luke chapter 11. And to get a context of what's going on here in Luke chapter 11, Jesus is speaking about the unclean man that leaves somebody. We'll just pick it up in verse 24. Luke chapter 11, verse 24. It says, "When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.' And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of a man is worse than the first." So Jesus is talking about this guy. The spirits leave. He doesn't fill his life with other things that are positive, that are good. And so they end up coming back, and he ends up worse off than he began. So that's the context of what Jesus is talking about here. There's a lot of people gathered around. And then what happens next is kind of surprising. It seems like it has no connection at all to me. But notice what it says in verse 27. It says, "And it happened, as he spoke these things, that a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said, 'Blessed is the womb that bare thee and the breasts which nurse you.'" Now, let's pause there. Jesus is talking about demons that leave somebody, and this woman just says, "Blessed is your mom." It doesn't really seem to go with the content of what Jesus is talking about, does it? Now, let's just pause there. We're talking about being the luckiest man or woman to ever live. Imagine, ladies, that you have the privilege of being the mother of Jesus. How big of a blessing would that be? Would you not consider that probably the biggest blessing you could think of? You have the privilege of being the mother of Jesus. Guys, let's include the males here. Imagine that you're the mother or the father of Jesus. You are. Now, of course, once you get over the thought that you have to raise the Son of God, you're the mother or father of God himself. What a blessing would that be? And so this woman, as he's speaking, just says, "Your mom is blessed." And notice what Jesus' response is. Very interesting. Verse 28, "But he said, 'Yea, rather, or more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and what? And keep it.'" According to Jesus, it's a bigger blessing to be able to understand and to apply and to do the things the Bible is asking us to do than to be the mother or father of God himself. Reason number two you may be the luckiest man or woman to ever live is not only that you can understand, but you can do. You can live the things that the Bible is telling you to do. You can read the Bible and not only understand, but you can live what God asks us to do as we serve him, as we live our lives according to his will. We can do the things that God wants us to do. In fact, Revelation 1 and verse 3 talks about that. There's not only a blessing in those that read and hear the words of Revelation or the Bible, but in those that keep those things which are written therein, it says. In fact, there's a story that comes right here in our conference. There's one of the students in Youth Rush the last couple of summers. His name is Michael, and he was knocking on some doors in Kennewick in Washington. And he knocked on a door there in Kennewick, and as the guy opened the door, he began to show the books, and he ended up showing him The Great Controversy. And right when he pulled out The Great Controversy, the guy at the door stopped him, and he says, "Look, I don't really know everything you believe, but I can tell this book has stuff that I believe." And he thought, well, okay, that's kind of interesting. And the guy goes on, and he begins to explain a little bit more. And he says, "You know, I go to a church here in Tri-Cities that we'll go and we'll study a topic in the Bible, and we'll find out what the Bible has to say about that topic. And then once we know that, the rest of the members, they just continue living their lives as though they never learned it. They don't really care about applying what the Bible has to say. And he says, one of those things that I've been studying is what happens after you die. You don't go right to heaven or hell. The Bible doesn't teach that. And so he's sharing these things with him. He's talking about that. He ends up talking about the Sabbath. He talks about three or four different topics that the Great Controversy talks about in there, and that we believe that the Bible teaches. And then he ended up getting that book from him. And Michael said, you know, everything you're talking about is right here in this book. And he said, you're gonna be amazed at the things that this book will confirm that you've been talking about. And so he ends up getting the Great Controversy. He ends up signing up for Bible studies. That Bible study interest got transferred over to one of the Bible workers that was working in Tri-Cities area there in Kennewick. And within a few weeks, that guy was coming to our church in Kennewick. Why? Because he was looking for a church that wasn't willing to just understand, but was willing to follow what they learned in the Bible. You can understand, and not only can you understand, you can do. One other quote that I want to share with you that goes right along with this. I just found this actually this morning that goes right along with what we've been talking about here. And if I can't get this to work, I don't know if you can just... advance that there. Maybe I did something to this that makes it not work. A quote that comes from the General Conference session 1901 that goes right along with this. This is what Ellen White said as she was addressing the General Conference. She says, every soul in every conference, in every part of the Lord's vineyard, has the privilege of knowing the truth. That's what we've talked about in the first point. Notice what she continues by saying. But truth is not to those who do not practice. Truth is not truth to those who do not practice it. Truth is only truth to you when you live it in the daily life, showing the world that those people, showing the world what those people must be who are at last saved. So Ellen White, her definition of knowing truth was, truth isn't truth unless you live it. Truth isn't truth unless you do what it says. In other words, in Jesus' words, there's a bigger blessing in listening and doing what God tells us to do. You can understand, but you can also do. Number three takes us to the book of Matthew chapter 13. If you go there in your Bibles, Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 16. It was our scripture reading for today. Matthew chapter 13, and beginning in verse 16. It says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Verse 17, for assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Let's see if this will go. Okay, well, that one worked. Reason number three that you may be the luckiest man or woman to ever live is that you are alive right now. Let's see if it catches up. One other thing, there we go. We're even luckier now that slide is showing correctly. Reason number three is that you are alive right now. In the words of Jesus, he said that many people wanted to see what those people were seeing. And what was it that they wanted to see? They wanted to see the Messiah there. And the people in the Bible times that Jesus was directly speaking to had that privilege. But we have a privilege that's equally as great. We not only know that the Messiah came and died for our sins, we know that we're living in the time of the end. We know that we're living in a time that many people have wanted to live in. We know that many people wanted to be living in the time where if they went out and preached the gospel to the world and everybody had the chance to choose who they were going to serve, that they could see the return of Jesus in their lifetime. Thousands of people have wanted to be able to say that they are living in a time that they could see Jesus come with their own eyes without seeing death, and we have that privilege today, amen? We have the privilege of living in the time of the end, and if our church comes together and does what we need to do, we can see Jesus come in our lifetime. And there's been many people that have wanted to be able to say that haven't been able to, but you can say that. I can say that. We are living in the time of the end. Not only can we understand, but we can do what the Bible asks us to do. And not only can we understand and do, we have the privilege of being able to apply those into our lives at the end of time. In fact, the book of Revelation, chapter 12, you're probably familiar with this passage, says in verse 12, "Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them, but woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath." Why? It says because he knows that he has a what? A short time. So apparently Satan knows the time that he's living in this world's history, and that motivates him to do something about it. How much does that motivate the people of God in our church today? When we look at the time that we're living in, how much does that motivate us to do something about it and to reach the lost in our communities? You have a great privilege in being alive right now. God set up times. He set up just at the right time for you to be living right now. God sets up these things that are called divine appointments, and he put you right here at just the time that he wanted you to be living. In fact, let me share a couple stories with you of divine appointments. There was a story, my first summer that I was involved in Youth Rush, I was working in San Jose in California. And there was a story that happened in our program there where there was a lady who had never read the Bible before. Hadn't read it at all. And one day she was feeling kind of discouraged, kind of wanted to see if God was real. And so she decided, no, I'm going to try reading the Bible. I've heard some of my friends say a little bit about that. So I'm going to try and open the Bible and see what it says. And so as she opened the Bible, she turned and ended up in the book of Revelation. And she started reading the book of Revelation. I'm not sure if she started at the beginning or if she started in chapter 3, but it ended up that within a little bit she was in chapter 3 of the book of Revelation, and she got to verse 20. Does anybody know what that verse says is happening? What does that verse describe? It says, "Behold, I stand at the door and do what? And knock." And she says, as she read those words, right as she was reading, "I stand at the door and knock," somebody knocked at her door. First time she'd ever read the Bible. And so she goes to the door, she opens the door, and there's a Youth Rush student, a student literature evangelist, right there at her door with books about the Bible to help her understand the Bible better. And she ends up getting a couple of those books. She signs up for Bible studies, and she ended up taking Bible studies to learn more. Why? Because God had divine timing. He had a divine appointment set up that just at the right time, somebody would knock on her door. In fact, one other story that's actually in that book, In the Open Door, that you can get here once we're done. There's a girl named Maribel who was dropped off on a street. And as she was dropped off on the street, she said, the leader told her to start at the third door. And she says, you know, I just have a sense that God is going to do something big here on this street. So she starts at the door. She knocks on the door. Lady opens the door. She begins to show her the books. And within a few seconds, she ended up shutting the door, gave the book back and shut the door, went back inside. Didn't really say much of anything. And so, she's standing there kind of wondering what's going on. And a couple seconds later, after the door got shut, this older lady, the door opens up again, and there's a younger girl standing there. And the door opens up, and she shuts the door, and she kind of steps outside, and she asks Maribel, you know, what are you doing? And so she begins to show her the books and shows her the cookbook first, ends up showing her a couple books before she shows her the book on the life of Christ. And as she shows her the book on the life of Christ and begins to explain it, she says, you know what, this is interesting. So she pulls her over to the driveway. Now they're not at the door, so they come over to the driveway. And this girl named Sophia was the girl that came out. She ends up telling her a story, and she says, last night I was standing here in the driveway, and I was smoking. And as I was smoking, I was wondering if God is really real, if he has any interest in knowing me. And she said, I prayed. I was standing here last night, and I prayed, and I looked up into the sky and looked at the stars, and I prayed, God, if you really want to know me, and if you really care about my life, then send me somebody that can show me that, otherwise my life ends tomorrow. And she said, I prayed that yesterday, and today you're here at my door with books about the Bible and books about the life of Jesus. Just at the right time. God has divine timing, and he placed you here at this time in Earth's history where you can have an impact on people. One other story. Those are stories that happened as Youth Rush students were going door to door. Now one about GLOW. There was a lady or a girl that was in Arizona, actually, who was riding the bus. And somebody had just come to her church to talk about GLOW, about what can happen as you share literature with other people, even simply sharing a GLOW tract. And so she said, that sounds like something that I can do. And so she ended up taking some literature with her. She was riding on the bus one day, and there was a guy that got on the bus, sat down, and she felt impressed to give him a piece of literature. And many times, like we do, when we feel God impressing us to do something, we say, no, you know, I'm not sure if they'd be receptive. I'm not sure if that would kind of be an awkward situation. I don't know if I really want to do that. And so she kind of pushed off the Spirit telling her to do that. And then a little while later, she felt impressed again, go give that guy a tract. And so eventually she saw the guy kind of gathering up some stuff, or she could tell that he was getting ready to get off the bus, and so she got up, went over, and handed him a tract. And the one that he handed her was the one that says, "Does God care that I'm hurting?" It's this one here. And she hands him the tract, and the guy stops, and he looks at it, and he pauses. And then he looks up, and he says, "You know what? I was just praying today that if I've been thinking about committing suicide, and I was just praying today that if God didn't want me to commit suicide, he would give me some kind of a sign, and I think this is his sign." Just a simple little GLOW tract at the right time. God puts us in the right place at the right time, and God has given us the privilege of living right now. Not only can you understand, but you can do, and you're alive right now. One last one before we finish. Reason number four you may be the luckiest man or woman to ever live is that you can serve. Matthew chapter 9. If you go with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9, the last passage we're going to take a look at here today. Matthew chapter 9, and we'll begin there in verse 35. Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 35, looking at reason number four. You can serve. Beginning in verse 35, here the Bible says, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and disease among the people." Let's pause there. It says that Jesus went around a lot of different places. He went around cities, villages. He was teaching people. He engaged in many different types of ministry. It says there that he was teaching people. He was in the synagogues, he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom, so he was teaching in church, and he was teaching outside of church, and he was healing the people of their sicknesses and disease. So he was participating in many different types of ministry, right? Verse 36, let's continue on. It says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd." Now here, let's pause again. Jesus has gone all over the place. He's been in churches preaching. He's preached to the people on the streets and in wherever they gather. He's healed people of sickness and disease. He's seen so many diseases and things that are affecting people. And it says that when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep having no shepherd. Now let's imagine for a minute that Jesus was to come down in person and be with us here today. And he was to visit all the cities and the villages. He was to visit Spangle here in Spokane, and he was to go down the streets and see the types of things that were afflicting people today. What kind of things would he see? What kind of heartache and what kind of sickness and disease would he see today? Would he not be just as moved with compassion for the people today? It says he was moved with compassion for them, like sheep having no shepherd. Verse 37, "Then he said to his disciples." Now when Jesus is thinking about the condition of humanity, when he's thinking about all the things, the sickness and the suffering and the heartache that plague the world, what does he say to his disciples? Verse 37, "Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray." Pray for what? Pray for a cure to all the sickness? Pray for a cure to cancer? Pray for all those things? No, he says, pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send out laborers into his harvest. wait a minute, so Jesus' response to all the suffering and sickness, Jesus' response to cancer and all these things is not to put more money into researching to find a cure? His money is to go and preach? His money would go toward that? His interest would be in reaching people's soul instead of trying to find a cure for all those other things? And that's not to say that finding a cure for cancer is not important. That's not to say that all these other things are not important. Jesus himself healed the people. But when it came down to the bottom line, after he healed the people, after he preached to them, he was more concerned because they needed spiritual guidance. They needed the gospel preached. And so Jesus' response to seeing all of those things, the condition of society, was not to say, let's focus on what they need physically, but let's focus on what they need to know so they can be in heaven. Amen? Jesus said to his disciples, I want you to pray, and I want you to pray for more people to go and preach the gospel. That's Jesus' response to a sin-filled and a disease and heartache-filled world that we live in today. He wants us to serve and to go and do something to reach others for him. One last story I want to share with you. It's from the book, The Open Door. There was a lady named Pat who grew up in the East, and she ended up becoming a Seventh-day Adventist, but years went by, and she ended up not going to church on a regular basis. She stopped going to church altogether, and so she became an Adventist, I think, in her teens, 20s, and she stopped going to church, and she had not been going to church for about 20 years. And she moved from the East out to California, and she ended up having the impression one day to go and try to find books that talked about the Sabbath and some of the stuff that she read when she was a Seventh-day Adventist. And so she went out to her garage, and first box she opened, there were the books right there. And so she began to read those, and she felt impressed. You know, I need to start keeping the Sabbath again. And so she began to start keeping the Sabbath with her, one of her friends. They began to keep the Sabbath together, but they weren't going to church. They still weren't going to church. And they began to keep the Sabbath. And then a couple months later, she felt impressed. And she said, you know, maybe I should start going back to church. And so she said, you know, I'm just going to pray and say, God, if you want me to go back to church, send a Seventh-day Adventist to my door who can tell me how to go back, how to find the Seventh-day Adventist church here. I think it's funny sometimes how when we're impressed to do something, we don't just do it. We ask God for another sign, right? We know that God wants us to do something, so we ask for a sign. And so she asked for the sign. And within a couple months of when she prayed that, somebody was at her door, knocking on her door, and it was a Seventh-day Adventist coal porter who knocked on her door. And as she saw some of the books, she said, hey, are you Seventh-day Adventist? They said, yeah, yes, I am. And she said, I've been praying for Seventh-day Adventists to come to my door. And she started to take Bible studies. She got a great controversy from them and began to read that. And she ended up going back to church. She's actively going to church on a regular basis, involved in her church there in California. Not only can we understand, but we can do. And not only can we do, but we have the privilege of living right now, and we have the privilege of serving God with our energy. One last quote I want to share with you, Acts of the Apostles, page 105, and then we'll close. It says, the persecution that came upon the church in Jerusalem resulted in giving a great impetus to the work of the gospel. Success had attended the ministry of the word in that place, and there was danger that the disciples would linger there too long, unmindful of the Savior's commission to go to all the world. In other words, their church had been growing, they'd been seeing success, and because of that success, there was the danger that they would be focused on reaching inward instead of reaching outward, instead of going out to reach other people and bring them in. The quote continues here. It says, forgetting that strength to resist evil is best gained by aggressive service, they began to think that they had no work so important as that of shielding the church in Jerusalem from the attacks of the enemy. We're told that strength to resist evil is best gained by doing what? By being aggressively engaged in service to God. If you want strength to resist evil in your life, if I want strength to resist evil in my life, the best way that I can get that strength is to reach out and to serve God in reaching other people. Amen? And so that's exactly the opportunity that we have today. There's a few different ways that you can do that. There's many different ways that you can do that. One of the ways that I found that's very effective is through distributing literature, just like these little goal tracts. And so there's some tracts that are there you can pick up and pass out. You can sign up for the 365 Challenge. We encourage you to do that. And you can be involved in serving others because our response to being blessed, just like the guy that we watched the video. You remember the guy, Frayn, that we watched the video, who survived all those different things. What happened at the very end of the video? What was the last thing that they talked about why he was so lucky? Does anybody remember? He won the lottery. Won millions of dollars. Now, we looked up this guy, and when he won the lottery, do you know what he did with the money? He gave most of it away. Why? Because our response to being blessed is to give back. His response to realizing how lucky he was to give that back to charity. Our response to being blessed is to serve God. So let me ask you two questions. You don't have to respond, but just think about. Number one, are you being blessed? Have you been blessed by God? And number two, what are you doing to serve him as a result of that blessing? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for giving us many reasons, four of which that we've looked at today, that we are the luckiest people to ever live. You have died for us. You sent Jesus to be here as our example, but ultimately to pay the price of his life so that we can be in heaven. And not only that, we can understand, we can apply the things of the Bible. We're living in the end times, and we have the privilege of serving others, of reaching out, of being the answer to your prayer when you prayed for more people to be sent into the harvest. So I just want to pray the same thing here today, is that you would send out laborers into your harvest, and many of those laborers are right here in this room. And so we just pray that as we have the opportunity to reach out and to be the answer to your prayer in reaching others for your cause, for the gospel cause, we just pray that you would be with us, that you would be with the literature that will be distributed, that you will be with the visitations that are made, that you will be with each of the things that we do, that you would help us to be an example everywhere that we go of your love, and that people would learn of you because of seeing our example. Is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.